Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
So for a show and tell this morning, I need to beg your forgiveness, beg your understanding, really, of what kind of geek I am. I have here on the screen a cross-section of the Starship Enterprise from Star Trek The Next Generation. That's the generation I grew up with. I actually have on my shelves somewhere the Star Trek The Next Generation technical manual that imagines the ways that this imaginary starship with these impossible engines and technology that's never been invented, this imaginary manual explains how all of this works. And it's fascinating for those of us who love this particular imaginary world where things happen that could never happen with the technology that we have had invented. You may be this very same kind of geek, in which case, thank you. I'm glad to know I'm not alone. You may be some other kind of geek who loves some other imaginary world and thinking about all of the ways that this world could happen. Remembering my own place with this imaginary world helps me to feel better about this this set of gymnastics of thinking about how something could happen. This is the Ark Encounter. Some of you have been there, I know. A museum, including a life-size rebuilding of Noah's Ark. But right here, what you have is the kinds of mental gymnastics it takes to try to get everything to fit on the Ark. And now, given what we know about how many animals there are in the world and how many kinds of animals and how big those animals are, this simply couldn't be done. There's not geometrically enough space on the ark as God described it to Noah to actually fit all of the animals on here. But I feel better about this when I stop and remember that this is also an act of devotion. This is also a way of recognizing what amazing things God does in our own lives, and to enter so fully into this story. After we read today's scripture, you may have similar questions about just exactly how can everything fit on the boat. God will tell Noah the exact specific dimensions for the ark, and then tell him to take two of every kind of animal on board, along with food for a year, and Noah's three children and their spouses, and you might wonder how could this all possibly fit. The short answer from the Ark experience is that not every kind of animal that we know about today went on the Ark, only about 1,400 kinds of animals. Went on the ark. I'm not sure exactly how they reasoned their way to that, but there you have it. Personally, I don't find that solution quite creative enough. I would personally like to imagine just that the ark was bigger on the inside. If you are the right kind of geek, you know where I'm coming from. But for me, this story that we're going to turn to today, the story of Noah and the ark and this great flood, this is not a story about what happened. This is a story that's a lot more like Jesus' parables. This is a story that asks us to think of this story as telling us about what God is like. Now, even as a parable, this story doesn't have any simple answers about even what God is like and how we should relate to God in today's world. This is a familiar story for a lot of us, this story of God sending a flood but calling Noah to build an ark to preserve life in the midst of the flood. The premise may be more familiar than the details of the story. So as I read this story today, I want to invite you to let this story surprise you. Let it raise questions inside you. And especially notice where you are troubled in the midst of this story. And how does your discomfort with this story point to God's call for you? Will you join me in a prayer for illumination? God of abundant life, your grace is our daily bread. Nourish us by your word and fill us with your spirit so that we may grow in faith and love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We read some origin stories these last 2 weeks in worship together. 2 weeks ago, we read about the first humans. Where did humanity come from? And then last week, we read about the first disobedience. How did the world that began so well end up like the world that we have it? Last week, we read that human unfaithfulness led to suffering for all creation. And in the chapters that have passed between last week and today, the story has gotten even worse. You might be able to see where God is coming from when God makes the decisions that God makes today. Here from Genesis chapter 6, beginning at verse 5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of humankind was great in the earth, and every inclination of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made humankind on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out from the earth the human beings I have created, people together with animals and creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the sight of the Lord. These are the descendants of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw that the earth was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its ways upon the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. Now I am going to destroy them along with the earth. Make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above, and put the door of the ark in its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. For my part, I am going to bring a flood of waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every kind into the ark, to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds according to their kinds, and of the animals according to their kinds, of every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind, two of every kind you shall come in to you to keep them alive. Also take with you every kind of food that is eaten and store it up, and it shall serve as food for you and for them. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. And so the flood happened. There were 40 days of rain and water longer on the earth, and everything was destroyed. And then we resume in chapter 8, verse 6. At the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made, and sent out the raven, and it went to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Then he sent out the dove from him to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set its foot, and it returned to him to the ark, for the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took it and brought it into the ark with him. He waited another 7 days, and again he sent out the dove from the ark, and the dove came back to him in the evening, and there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Then he waited another 7 days and sent out the dove, and it did not return to him any more. That tentative exit from the ark feels especially relevant in the world that we are living in today. Well, Noah and everyone with him, the humans and the non-human animals, all exited the ark. Noah worshipped God. He had brought some extra of the kind of animals that he needed to do that. And then God told Noah and all those animals to be fruitful and multiply and repopulate the earth. And in chapter 9, verse 8, then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy all the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The words underneath that gift of music, we are travelers on a journey, fellow pilgrims on the road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. That gift of music makes explicit what the scripture has been saying about who we are and what we are here for. Today's scripture reading, this story that is so familiar and yet at the same time has so much depth and nuance in it, it tells a story about God that asks, what if humanity ruined the world so badly that God thought about just throwing everything out and starting over? Now, a giant flood that covers the entire earth is not so plausible given the amount of water that exists on the earth, although you just never know, right? It is 2020. But the question underneath it, that question, that's real. That's relevant. The world around us can seem ruined in so many ways as we deal with systemic injustice and environmental destruction and calls to wipe away the whole human system that we have built on this world. I'll let you decide what those calls mean. I'll let you decide what it means that the world is in such turmoil today. But I can certainly acknowledge that if the system worked for everyone, there wouldn't be calls to destroy the system as it is. There are two deep truths about God in this flood story, And they're truths that don't always seem to fit cleanly together. That's where the best stories come from. First, there's the truth about God's love. God's love calls for justice in the world. God's love calls for the world to be put together for the well-being and the flourishing of all. God is even more grieved than we are by the violence and the brokenness of the world as it is. Justice matters so much that we can imagine the survival of the world depending on it. But there's a second truth. The second truth is that if God wiped the world clean, it would not be just about ending what was, it would be about starting over, starting fresh, bringing something new into being. God is all about starting over. And God's love somehow proves faithful to all life, even in the midst of destructive judgment, as this story tells it. God is stubbornly in love with this world. And so God calls Noah, this one human, and his family, so okay, eight humans, God calls Noah and his family to preserve the lives of all animals. Just like in the Garden of Eden, humans exist in order to tend and to guard the garden that God planted, in order to tend and to guard the creation that God loves so dearly. That's what we're here for. That's in contrast to this Euro-American mythology that assumes that everything out there exists for our sake, whether nature in a non-human sense or other humans that we find a way to make exist for our own sake. No, we exist as part of this nature. We exist in this unique role to care for and to tend the nature around us. Notice this amazingly detailed description of the ark. God tells Noah just exactly how long and wide and tall to make the ark and what kind of roof to put on it and make sure that you caulk the outsides. Apparently Noah didn't have the boat building experience to know that you needed to seal the water on the outside of the boat. God gives this detailed description of how to build the ark, not necessarily how to configure the interior decks so that all of those animals could fit. That's where the imagination comes in. But this detailed description of exactly how big the ark is supposed to be, it reminds me of the only other time I can think of God giving specific measurements for something. And that's when God explains how to build the tabernacle in the wilderness and the temple in Jerusalem. God explains how to build these structures where God's own presence will be held, will be worshiped, will be honored. God only gives such detailed blueprints for the very most precious of containers. So Noah is building not just a boat to keep some animals safe. Noah is building a home for God's very most precious things. God is building a home for these animals to preserve life on the earth. So Noah is kind of like staff on the ark. He's not exactly the captain of this boat. He's there to care for God's creatures. That's his whole job. His survival is bound up with the survival of life on earth. I don't know much that is truer than that statement, that our survival is bound up with the survival of life on earth, that our purpose is bound up with the well-being of this earth, which God has entrusted to us. This is a story that's ultimately about God's faithfulness. It's ultimately about God's faithfulness to all flesh through the covenant promise to this one human family. God's faithfulness to everything goes right together with God's covenant promises to us. God is so faithful that even human unfaithfulness can't stop God from starting over again and again and again. And God's faithfulness extends not just to us, not just to humanity, but to the whole world. And God can be faithful to the whole world through this church that God calls us into. Just like Noah, we are called to build a safe place for all creation, a vessel for God's faithfulness to all flesh. A place where we care more about building community than we do about measuring how many people show up for the thing that we're doing, whether in person or online. We're called to build a community where we feed each other and invite each other to help feed our neighbors, neighbors whom we have met or not. We're called to build a community where we welcome your questions and your hopes and your uncertainties, and we gather all who seek a safe place in the midst of the storm. We might wonder exactly how the interior of that ark is organized. It will take all our best imagination to find ways for us all to fit in that ark, but thank God we are called to build it. Thank God for God's faithfulness to all the world through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
Today in particular, we lift up the Peace and Global Witness offering, which we will dedicate next Sunday when we celebrate World Communion Sunday. During the season of peace, we are focused on seeking peace and reconciliation. We are working to build God's house of peace where all are welcome, where all can find compassion and peace and justice. The Peace and Global Witness offering supports Presbyterian peacemaking efforts across the country, around the world, and right here in West Des Moines. We are able to support the work of Presbyterian peacemakers everywhere. You can see some stories in your bulletin about peacemaking work that Presbyterian churches are doing, and we retain a portion of that offering for peacemaking work right here in West Des Moines through the ministries of this congregation. We are the church together. We are peacemakers together. We are builders of God's household of peace together. And together, when we all do a little, it adds up to a lot.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.